There is a real possibility that the coronavirus will still be a big issue come this November when the country will be going to the polls to elect a president. There is currently debates over how much change will be needed to allow everyone to vote safely. Questions like how many mail-in ballots and how many polling places are needed to both keep people safe and allow fair access. For some answers, we turn to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline and talk with Eric McGee, a senior fellow with the Public Policy Institute. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Kind of give us the lay of the land with this debate. All mail-in voting and polling place voting. Where is the debate and how will this ultimately be defined?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And the key question here is how far we should go toward an all vote by mail election, because showing up in person in substantial numbers with the coronavirus potentially active this fall would pose a risk of transmission, not just for the people who are voting, but also for the polling workers who would be engaging with all these voters throughout the course of the day, hundreds of them. And so it's going to be hard to staff the normal number of in-person polling sites because those people are normally volunteers. So there's going to have to be a reduction in the number of in-person sites, and the question is how many can we staff and how many should we staff? And there's really sort of an active debate right now about those issues, and there hasn't been any resolution yet. Though we are going to have to move toward more vote-by-mail voting to some degree to ensure public safety.
So logistically speaking, how far does the country have to go to get to all mail-in? Here in California, a majority of folks have been doing it for a while.
Yeah, so it's not as much of a transition for California as it is for most other states. There are a few states that are all vote-by-mail, but the vast majority aren't majority vote by mail, but they don't even make it easier for people to vote by mail. You either have to have an excuse to vote by mail, or you have to re-up your vote by mail status after every election. In California, we actually allow you to be permanent vote by mail, so you can say that you want to vote by mail in every election, and that's the new default for you. We were also the first state in the country to allow no excuse vote by mail.
This has certainly become a political hot potato, if you will. Historically speaking, does one party stand to benefit more than the other when it comes to mail-in voting?
Yeah, that's a good question. The evidence suggests the answer is no. And the key way of thinking about that is not necessarily are there differences between the people who currently vote by mail and the people who don't, and there are some differences along those lines. The question is, what's the effect of actually changing to a mostly vote-by-mail election from one that is much less vote-by-mail? And the evidence we have currently for that kind of change is that it really doesn't affect things one way or the other. No party clearly benefits. So I think when you're thinking about this issue, it's natural for people to observe certain differences at any point in time in terms of places that have a lot of voting by mail or the kinds of people who vote by mail versus not. But the way we should think about it is what would be the change, and the change doesn't show any partisan effect. So we should think about this as a question of public health and not a question of partisan advantage.
Well, thank you for your time. Eric McGee is a senior fellow with the Public Policy Institute.